The Drow are mysterious. They are violent. They are long-lived elves with dark skin. They have changed just a little bit from their Pathfinder days, and today we're going to talk about them. So let's get into it. The physical characteristics of a Drow have not really changed. They're still purple-skinned and they have white hair. They are everything in appearance that I am not. Although they are typically very attractive, they are very, very merciless. Make no mistake, the Drow are ruthless, and that society has gotten even worse when you factor in mega corporations and all of the likeness of that. The civilian population, as well as much of the military, is made up of the average Drow. If you're wealthy, you will not serve military time. If you're poor, you will be a slave or have some form of indentured servitude or forced military service. And of course, the wealthy and more noble Drow, they will just boss everybody else around, as is their birthright, I guess. What's interesting about the Drow society is that it's matriarchal, which means if you're a dude, you don't get to advance very high in the ranks, or at least it's much harder for you to do so. Effectively, there's only two ways for you to get a comfortable life if you are a male Drow. You can become a high-level enforcer, or you can become a notorious weapons dealer. That's basically your options to riches. Unfortunately for these two choices of career path, they typically come with a shorter life expectancy because competition is ruthless. And speaking of Drow ruthlessness, they have no qualms about setting up traps, ambushes, killing their opponents from a distance if they can avoid a physical confrontation. After all, fairness is just a weakness of the lesser races. If you believe that fairness and honor are important, then the Drow believe that you should be exploited and you are a lesser being. The Drow have absolutely no qualms about taking hostages, prisoners, using anyone that they can gain an advantage on as slaves or minions, cannon fodder, anything that they can put a physical, literally a physical barrier in front of them so that you get hit and not the Drow. This happens a lot when the Drow go on exploration missions, especially when it's a planet that they are just unfamiliar with. After all, the Drow have enough problems back on Apostae dealing with their own kind. Basically, the biggest risk to another Drow is another Drow. There are a little more than a dozen houses that rule everything on Apostae. Almost every Drow will belong to at least one of these houses. Some of the largest houses, they get along well enough, although saying that they cooperate is pretty generous terms. These houses are Erebani, Brevac, Rykast, and Zaiza'ur. When it comes to electing the ambassadors that will represent Apostae in the Pact Worlds Council, they cooperate well enough, as long as those who are represented are furthering the Drow agenda. Having said that, when no one is watching, they will try to supplant each other and outdo each other or sabotage each other for their own gain, essentially. All of these houses will do that, and that's really how everything works on Apostae, and especially with Drow society. All-out war with another house is very, very rare. Being that this is a planet of weapons producers, and that's how most houses have actually made their wealth, is not generally a good idea to go to open war with each other. What ends up happening instead is more corporate espionage, sabotage, traps, setting someone up to fail, destroying your opponent's reputation in some way. Drow are the ultimate politicians with literally no morals. On top of all of this, there has been instances where elven saboteurs or elven operatives have gone into Drow society to destroy Drow equipment, holdings, anything that the elves feel would be important to the Drow that could be destroyed. The elves view the Drow as demon-worshipping cancer, essentially. The elves are not a fan. While these acts are officially condemned by the Pact Council, they still do happen from time to time. Now, the Drow economy revolves specifically around reverse engineering weapons that they have found. The Drow are very proud that the weapons they sell are cutting edge, bleeding edge even, and they sell them to not only the highest bidder, but the Pact Worlds and the Starfinder Society. Some special militia within the Drow society, they are capable of working together. This means that if you're going to play a drow character, while they do tend to lean towards the evil spectrum, this doesn't mean you need to be a complete asshole to the rest of your party, so keep that in mind. These specialized units, they tend to favor ranged weapons, and they combine them very effectively with team tactics. We're talking sniper rifles and long-range weapons here. Having said all of that, if a drow sniper is working with a team and they happen to see a target that they can take out and settle a personal vendetta, they will absolutely do that even if it jeopardizes the mission. But notice, at worst, they're just jeopardizing the mission, they are not actively sabotaging their team. I feel like I need to do a different video around alignment, so I'll probably do that in the future as well. This means that you have a combination of tyranny and near anarchy that basically rules society. Settlements on Apaste, even though there really aren't that many, they are controlled by either one or two of the houses. And if they are not, then these areas are basically completely lawless. You could have some Mad Max style fun here, just with no oxygen. It's Mad Max, but on hard mode. Anyone who is not a drow must receive formal permission to actually land on the planet. And this permission does not come with any sort of guarantees of your safety, so if you're coming to Apaste, be very aware that you could literally die and no one would care. At least on Apaste, anyways. You'll find a lot of mercenary groups work with the drow, especially the ones that have quite a bit of collateral damage. Pirate groups, rogue elements, street gangs, all of them love to have their time on Apaste, because any act that they do here which would on other worlds be considered starting a riot or inciting a war, to the drow it's just a cost of doing business. If that weren't all bad enough, there is also the magical element here. Mystics, or summoners who like to call upon the dark magics or the dark beings, demons, whatever, they will try to do their magics here because no magical sanctions, and it's not viewed as a bad thing, even if you lose control of that demon and it kills you. Want to do some morally gray biohacking experiments? Then talk to the drow. They will have a place for you on Apaste. This also just adds to the list of dangerous things that you need to be aware of, because sometimes a science experiment will get out and it has to be put down. Some drow, known as the drow nobles, are born with magical abilities. Most drow have magical powers, but the drow nobles, they have just a little bit more than everybody else, and they really like to lord it over them. And drow nobles are often the children who are selectively bred and engineered from other wealthy drow families. It is possible for someone like this to be born to common parents. However, they will use their magical abilities and their powers to rise up in social ranks very quickly. I would say that if someone did this, then they would typically be quite aggressive. Drow don't really have laws per se. Drow have a lot of rules, however, most of these rules are unwritten and they come with severe double standards. Basically, anything that you think you can get away with is permitted. This is one of the unwritten rules. If you can do it and nobody will know that it was you, then great, more power to you. If there is any form of law enforcement, it's usually enforcers for the house that you are working with or that you represent. If you are a low-ranking member of these houses or a low-ranking employee, your complaints, nothing's gonna happen with them. Only something that has been committed against a high-ranking drow official or member of the family or members of the houses, only those will be taken seriously. And depending on what the act was, if it makes a house look weak, expect some form of retaliation, because these houses need to show that they are physically strong and any sort of act of aggression like this will not be tolerated. In this sense, they are very much like mafia families. The mafia sometimes went to war with each other, however, they mostly tried to avoid it whenever possible. Can you find other races that live on Apaste? Yes. Yes, you can. There is humans and half-orcs or full orcs. However, those three races are usually slaves. What was interesting about drow society as well before the gap, everything was matriarchal. Every position of power was held by women. Now, what's interesting is before the gap, as I've mentioned, drow society is more matriarchal and the women rule. Before the gap, going back into history, all of the positions of power were entirely female. This was still the case even after the gap had ended. Now, there were some laws that were passed during the gap on apostate that cemented positions of power and power consolidation for the drow women. Legally, the drow women are more powerful and more important than the men. Because it's so difficult for male drow to advance within society in apostate and drow society in general, what they will typically do is they will go out into space and make their own cities, make their own visions of what they want. They will consolidate power that way. It's a lot easier for them to do that, as many of the other races in space are not as unscrupulous as they are. When this happens, which is quite frequently, typically a male drow will go to their managers, their mid-level managers, whoever's running the house, and they will typically seek permission to go out and do this. Some mid-level managers may even just voluntarily do this on their own, if they're feeling particularly ambitious. Going out into space and making your own way, your own fortune or future, while uncertain, is still better and less dangerous than staying on apostate and trying to do it there. A drow noble who goes out into space this way typically will build up their own business representing their own house. They will travel to the Pact Worlds, they will travel to any planets in near space or the Vescarium. They will line up their buyers, they will have their own clientele. They can become quite powerful this way as well. If they do manage to find any significant technology out among the stars, they can send it back to their own house or back to their own engineers for reverse engineering, and they can then weaponize that. This has happened on many occasions. Some drow will go out and be powerful mystics or powerful mages. They will typically go out and further their house's pact with the demon lord that they serve. Some drow will go out as technomancers or witch warpers to get an education in their chosen field, which they will then bring back to the Night Arch Gate and be the first to conclusively say, "This is what's going on. I'm important now. Listen to me." Now that you know a little bit about the drow, let's talk about some of the stats you'll get if you decide to play one. To start off as a drow, you will get +2 to your dexterity, +2 to your charisma, and -2 to your constitution. Being that you are also a elf subtype, you have 4 hit points. So it's not great, but it's not awful either. Drow will of course have dark vision for 60 feet. You will also get the feature drow immunities. Drow are immune to sleep effects. They will also gain a +2 racial saving bonus against enchantment spells and effects. Most drow are very magical, at least they lean that way. You will also gain drow magics. As a character, you will gain these spell-like abilities. They can be used at will, and for their level, they are considered the level of your drow. This includes your multi-classing. They will gain dancing lights as well as detect magic. Now, while the drow don't actually have this feat of minor psychic power, they are considered to meet all the prerequisites to have it. If the drow does decide to take the psychic power's feat, they will gain access to the Limning Light supernatural ability. Now, what this does, effectively, within a 100-foot radius, any creature will have a glow around its outline, its visage, if you will. Now, the nice thing about this is, let's say you have a creature that is invisible. Maybe this isn't so good for the invisible creature. If you have line of sight to the one that cast it, it will also become visible. And everybody gets to know where you are, and they can shoot you now. Thank you to all of my patrons who have supported me thus far and continue to support me along my YouTube journey. My name's Nathaniel. This has been The Maple Table. Thanks for stopping by, everyone.